It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, Editor-at-Large at Search ERP, with my colleagues Brian McKenna, Business Applications Editor at Computer Weekly, and Patrick Thibodeau, News Writer at Search HR Software. Today's topic is Workday. The SaaS HR pioneer has more company lately in the vanguard of cloud ERP, with Oracle, SAP, and others selling highly competitive and well-rated SaaS ERP. So where does Workday stand in today's market? How well do its claims to be an employee-centric company hold up to scrutiny? We'll discuss these questions and give our reactions to Workday's recent virtual conference called Conversations for a Changing World. So last week we attended Workday's temporary replacement, I think, for their Workday Rising conference. So it was a virtual event, like a lot of vendors are doing, called Conversations for a Changing World. And like a lot of these events, it seemed like, of course, it's quite an advertisement. A lot of the events were canned in the seminars, but also a fair number of them were live. Not a lot new, but there was some coverage coming out of it. I know, Pat, you wrote a piece about some of the interesting user stories. I'm wondering if you want to share a little bit about how that went.
The conference was, like many of these virtual conferences, kind of superficial and light, with 1,000-foot views of where the company wants to go. And Neil Bushry outlined some of their technology directions. And I think probably the most important one that he touched on was their desire to build more data-infused applications. You know, Workday is now trying to become more like an ERP vendor. That's why it's acquired Adaptive Insights and Scout. But it's also competing more directly with the Oracle and the SAPs of the world, which are very good already at infusing data from a variety of applications and giving kind of a one-view analysis. So this is an important area for Workday, but I also think it's a challenging one. But it's one they can't avoid if you pay attention to Gartner at all. I was looking up some statistics on some of their predictions, and they said by 2024, 75% of organizations will have a centralized data and analytics hub. So that's clearly the direction, and Workday doesn't have any choice. If you want to, say, develop a new product line, you want to be able to go to one application, put in what you want to do, and it's going to spit out your supply chain, your workforce, your finance needs, all the needs that, you know, everything that's relevant in one application. Instead of, you know, assembling six people in a room with their different spreadsheets and trying to assemble it that way.
The other thing, in terms of the product direction, I listened to some of both Neil Bushry's comments and then a guy named Peter Schlamp and then a guy named Paul Stokes, who's involved in product development. And they were talking about a lot of the other things that other ERP vendors have been doing. So in many ways, it's not at all unusual, but more machine learning, bringing more machine learning and AI into more places. The so-called employee journey, which Oracle and SAP has been doing, the SuccessFactors, especially SAP SuccessFactors, Oracle, and a few of the others, these special workflows that are like for onboarding and slicing through the platform and putting the steps together for people rather than forcing them to go to the different modules. So a lot of what I heard sounded basically like it was competitive with, but just comparable to what their closest rivals are doing for the leading edge of technology and kind of taking where a lot of the interest is in lately with AI and infusing it throughout the whole platform.
That's absolutely true. I mean, Workday's message, when this company was formed 15 years ago, its message has gotten pretty stale at this point. You know, move to the cloud, no legacy systems, everything's fresh, updated all the time, yada, yada, yada. You know, that worked for a very long time for this company. But now it's in this entirely new sphere where data rules everything. And it has to do a better job of integrating data from across the corporate sphere. So users have this kind of single view of everything that's going on. And that puts them more in the target of, or more competitive with companies like SAP, which have been doing that already for quite some time. Their challenges are changing with their maturity.
Yeah, I think when they were initially formed, kind of coming out of the PeopleSoft, ingestion of PeopleSoft by Oracle, the fact that it was a software as a service offering was kind of unique and attractive and been able to build on that basis. But Bushry himself was speaking in his kind of, if you can call it a keynote, his kind of conversation about that was the cloud of the past, but now they're adapting themselves to this new context of cloud computing that's been completely changed by the rise of the hyperscalers, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of big picture in terms of the technology change, and they're trying to leverage public cloud providers more effectively and so on and so forth. And I think that's the kind of the context for this data-infused applications, which I don't think is all that remarkable, really. I was more Kevin interested in his, you know, talking about what they were trying to offer to customers that customers can do mm-hmm. with this, you know, Workday 2.0 in terms of stemming the tide of resignation and, you know, adapting to the kind of post-pandemic world. And Pat, you've written about that in the context of Workday, that there, I think especially in the US, there's this so-called great resignation of employees. And so there's that whole customer engagement and retention piece that Workday says it's in a very good position to help companies with. But the context there is this phenomenon of many US workers simply resigning.
Oh, yeah, you're so right there. The Labor Department says the number is 2.7% a month. So take that over a year, and that's been in place for about 4 months. Take that over a year, and you're talking about a significant portion of a company's workplace that is walking out the door. So this is just a huge problem. It's a huge problem right now. And I don't think anybody has a perfect solution to it, because this is one of these epochal changes that, you know, occur in society every now and then.
Yeah, it's really interesting that from a kind of UK perspective, because we've not seen that yet. However, to give but one example, we recently in Computer Weekly published a feature by Kath Everett entitled, "Is the Tech Sector Facing an IT Skills Exodus?" So 3 out of 5 UK IT workers say they intend to change jobs over the next year, you know, once they're through the pandemic. You know, 3 out of 5, I mean, that's going to be a big percentage of tech workers going somewhere else. And I guess Workday is trying to position itself as a company that can help retain people, and, you know, through some of these things that they've acquired, like Peakon and some of the people analytics that they're able to do through, is it Prism?
Yes.
I don't know the product set that well, but that is the context, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, they acquired Peakon earlier this year for something like $700 million. And that competes with Qualtrics. And the whole idea is a better listening platform, more surveys, more understanding of what the employees are up to. And so theoretically, the company can respond. Whether that actually helps these firms reduce their turnover remains to be seen.
Yeah, very much remains to be seen. I think this thing is bigger than all of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, there's another technology direction that Anil Boostry mentioned that is something they've had for a while. He was emphasizing skills and improving the platform for skills. And I think, Pat, you've covered that aspect of what they've been doing. So they're just building on something they've had for a while. He emphasized, Boostry did, that they are beefing up their reskilling and their skills platform. That's part of the whole retention effort, is to provide support to companies who need to do a lot of retraining.
They created something called the Skills Cloud. And the whole idea is to try to create a taxonomy or an ontology of all the skills that a company has, all the skills that it may need. I spoke to Josh Burschett about this recently. He says it's a very difficult thing to do. I think that Workday is taking on one of the harder problems in HR right now, and that's to develop a taxonomy and ontology of skills to really understand what skills your existing employees have and all the skills they may need in the future. The tools for doing that are still in their infancy, and it's a struggle for firms right now to create this big picture of what they actually need.
And isn't the concept there, or part of the concept there, to kind of offer employees who are thinking of leaving, you know, map. I'm sure SuccessFactors were talking about doing that kind of thing as well, especially within large corporate organizations, of kind of surfacing growth opportunities, job opportunities to people with certain skill sets mm-hmm. or who've got skill sets that could be developed in certain directions, as opposed to just allowing them to leave.
Yeah, it isn't just a question of there's this job opening. It's a question of what skills do you need to acquire so that you can be qualified for that job. It's not an automatic thing, obviously, especially if you're maybe taking a 45 degree turn, a 90 degree turn out of your main job or into a different department. But even within there, just even leadership training, if you're trying to move up in management, for example, showing someone that path and that there is a path, and that if they're not ready for it now, according to their performance review, if they get the skills, then they could be ready for it in a year or two. That is a path forward, and that is a way to retain people.
Speaking of the theme of retention, you know, in the context of the Great Resignation and so on, what about Workday itself? Because Workday, from what I've read and from what I've understood from talking to Chano Fernandez, the co-CEO, is that Workday is unusual in the context of Silicon Valley in wanting, actually positively wanting to retain staff over time. You know, as opposed to the kind of a tour of duty concept of the other Silicon Valley companies tend to have, where they have very high turnover and they don't mind that. But Workday has always prided itself, they say, in wanting to retain their own people and being employee first and so on. And even more grandly, I noticed at the event that we're talking about, Anil Buzri said explicitly, I believe it's more important than ever for companies to have a soul.
That jumped out at me too. As I somewhat cynically said at the time, it's debatable whether people even have souls. I mean, maybe I'm really going down a bad path there, getting religious, controversial there. But I mean, how does that strike you, that phrase, the soul of a corporation? I mean, it's one way of maybe referring to corporate culture. Seems a little grandiose, though. That's how it strikes me. Pat, do you have any thoughts on that? You've written about their diversity efforts and some other aspects of what goes on internally at Workday, but what about this notion of the soul of a corporation, and that a corporation should have a soul, whatever that is?
Look, Workday was being candid when it discussed the problem it had with hiring, say, Black Americans, or the problem it really had with the low numbers in its workforce. And the company genuinely seemed troubled by that. To me, it's just kind of, all right, great, you have a soul. This is what you're saying. That might sound good to the employees, but what is actually going on in the company? And there's a lot that Workday doesn't disclose. Importantly, they don't disclose their U.S. workforce. They only disclose their global workforce. So I have no idea, really, what changes are going on in their U.S. workforce. I don't know how many jobs they're actually shifting overseas. I know they're doing a lot of hiring, like in Ireland and in the UK and places in Europe. I don't know whether their US workforce is actually expanding or shrinking. When they release percentages showing the changes in minority hiring and their, you know, Asian and gender roles and things like that, it's impossible to know because you don't know what their US workforce is. So I'd rather see numbers instead of, you know, religion here.
I'm wondering about the new numbers, Beck, because you, when this story came out, and I think you were one of the first to write about it. I found your article from June 2020. But at the time, this disclosure that Workday made, they reported that 2.4% of its U.S. workforce was Black employees. It's actually below the already low Silicon Valley average of 4.4%. I don't know if they've released numbers. I don't think that they have released updated numbers.
They did update it recently. There was a slight percentage change improving. And I did a brief note on that. But still, without knowing the U.S. population, you don't really know what's going on.
Some companies are better at treating their employees well than others. And Brian, when you talked to Chano Fernandez, the co-CEO, he talked quite a bit about what they do to put employees first. And my general sense was that there is a difference. There are things that Workday does that are above and beyond, or at least above the average compared to a lot of companies in terms of how they treat
them. They can definitely point to a few things which are facts. I mean, when the pandemic began, they gave every employee 2 weeks' wages, you know, 15 days' salary. Now, you know, money isn't everything, but I mean, that's something. I mean, lots of other companies didn't do that and had maybe the opportunity to do something similar. And I believe all employees have shares in the company. They do have some equity as part of their compensation package.
I think so. I read that too. Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, this is still a capitalist company. It's not it's not like it's run and owned by its employees. I mean, it's it still is what it is. It's a machine for making money and ultimately making profit. So it does seem to have some things going for it, which are maybe better than the norm, especially for Silicon Valley companies, perhaps, which, as I said, tend to be much more, seem to be a lot more ruthless and a bit less kind of caring about hanging on to staff over the longer term.
I think that the company is doing well. There's no denying that. Its revenues have been through the roof a good number of years. So it's doing something right with its employees.
Right.
And they do kind of trumpet their diversity and inclusion program, which a lot of companies are now doing. They do seem to say, well, we do quite a good job on that.
So Pat, when you said that they've been having success, it's been pointed out, I think, even by Workday itself, that companies with unhappy employees don't usually do very well.
That's a pattern. If they had devastatingly high turnover, if they had low employee morale, I don't think they would be having anywhere near the revenue gains that they've been seeing and some of the customer wins they've had. You know, they are doing some things correctly. I just don't know. I can't explain some of the problems that they have with the hiring and why their workforce isn't more diverse and what's underlying that. And that's not to say anything nefarious is underlying that. Silicon Valley companies do a horrible job generally in hiring, and they all admit. And so they're a percent and a half or so below the rest. It's significant, but still it's, they're just part of an industry that has just somehow failed to be fair to a very large part of this population.
Yeah.
You mentioned their financial success. I did some looking up in Fortune magazine, which I subscribe to. you can get this information without subscribing, I think. You're certainly right. Their growth has been tremendous. So according to Fortune, Workday hit $4.3 billion in annual revenue as of the end of the fiscal year that ended January 31st. That's quadruple what it was 5 years ago. 12,500 employees was the number. It sounds like a ballpark to me, but that's the number that Fortune reported, and they have pretty reputable process for finding out things. Usually have losses, which is important to remember. They punch above their weight, you know, as the expression goes. Their influence in the market is still above and beyond, I think, what their actual size is. So I mentioned that they had $4.3 billion in revenue. In contrast, SAP, this is dollars, not euros, was at $31.2 billion, and Oracle was $39 billion. They're growing at a considerably faster rate of those two big other competitors. Oracle is growing a bit faster than SAP, but Workday is still really just a fraction of what they are in size. But I feel like their influence, especially as one of the pioneers in SaaS and proving that multi-tenant SaaS could be a way to deliver serious enterprise software, along with NetSuite and a few others that have come along, they certainly deserve credit, I think, for proving that. And they get a lot of mind share in the market. And yet, with all their growth, they are still really quite a bit smaller than, I think, their biggest competitors in the market.
And smaller also than Salesforce.
Yes.
I think it's about $20 billion.
This might be a good place to try to summarize where we think they are, if it's possible to do that, given what we've said about some of their technologies and their corporate culture and their competitive positioning. They are leading along with Oracle Cloud HCM. They led the last Cloud HCM Suite Magic Quadrant, and they also do very well in the financial side, which is something that might not have been said 5 or 10 years ago. So they're getting some recognition for their technology, but they've had a long history as coming up as a SaaS player and really being ahead of the competition.
You just reminded me, David, of something that Channel was very keen to say to me, which was, I would encourage you, Brian, he said, to think of us as a finance applications company and not just an HR company. Mm-hmm. So that tying together of finance and HR is a critical thing for them, and being kind of more than just a, you know, it seems obvious to say, but more than just an HR software software as a service vendor. And that does make them more like an ERP vendor, as Pat was saying at the top of the conversation.
Well, and I want to give Pat a chance to jump in here, but just one little thought about that. I looked at the Gartner Magic Quadrant on cloud core financial management suites, and they are in the leader quadrant behind Oracle Cloud ERP, but in there with NetSuite and S/4HANA Cloud. And the interesting thing about who's in that group, it's S/4HANA Cloud. Another SaaS suite that is, I don't want to call it financials light, but it's true accounting. It's really accounting, but it's also analytics on top of the accounting done in the cloud, done in SaaS. And you often have companies, when they're making their cloud move, they start with the accounting piece. And this is where a lot of the S/4HANA Cloud migrations are happening. They just do the simple finance piece and they start with that and they centralize on the cloud their financials. But in the case of Workday, especially with the acquisition of Adaptive Insights and Prism and some others, the analytics that they put on top of that, those centralized cloud-based financials and the HCM, the employee information added to it, is, if not a market differentiator, it's, so I guess what I'm saying is, when Chano Fernandez made that point to you, he might be referring more to the sort of newer version of finance, which is the analytical side, the planning side. It's not as if they're just the old school kind of ERP where it's about accounting.
Big emphasis on planning. And Busri talked about that, didn't he, in his sort of quasi keynote about, you know, the pandemic has, I mean, that's rhetoric from him, but, you know, planning, execution, analyzing, it's kind of continuous thing. Mm-hmm. It's continuous planning. And they say that they can see that from their, how their customers are using their planning software.
Pat, how do you see that whole issue in terms of how they are as an ERP vendor? They haven't always called themselves ERP, and I think they often try to shy away from the name. Chano Fernandez is emphasizing that they are doing financials. How do you think that sort of positions them versus maybe historically some of the other bigger ERP vendors?
Well, they were pretty aggressive about Adaptive Insights and promoting that. And they now call themselves an HR and finance company. Mm-hmm. So they kind of walk away a little bit from exclusively HR. And then, of course, they added in some supply chain capability. But they're still heavily, you know, HR. That's what they're identified for. Mm-hmm. They had customer overlap when they acquired Adaptive Insights. They probably have more customer overlap now, or more users of that platform. But it's hard to tell how they'll perform long-term against the Oracles and the SAPs. But they also have other firms to worry about. I mean, Ceridian, they're holding their annual conference this week, and they expect to pass $1 billion in revenue this year. So that's kind of an artificial line, but they're now, you know, $1 billion HCM player. And that has to be the kind of firm that Workday has to worry about a little bit. They're not trying to be an ERP firm. They're just trying to be a solid HR company. But that is still heavily Workday space. So it's going to be interesting to see whether, you know, Workday can keep the up-and-coming firms from stealing its own market share. At the same time, it can compete, you know, against the SAPs and the Oracles.
I don't want to sound like I'm shilling for Gartner too much, but again, in their Magic Quadrant for mid-market cloud HCM suites, so this is the last one they did towards the end of last year. Ceridian is the only other company other than UKG, and they mean the UltiPro, the ultimate software side of the Kronos and Ultimate merger. They don't mean the Kronos products primarily. They mean UltiPro, which has long been another serious player in SaaS HCM, and then Oracle Cloud HCM, and then SAP SuccessFactors. Ceridian is the company that joins those other four in the leaders quadrant. You know, maybe a way to close is just to sort of talk about the sort of the evolution of SaaS ERP and HCM. Workday was ahead of the game. You could certainly, when they started, and the other vendors were playing catch up, the so-called legacy vendors, and there were a few people like Ultimate Software that were already doing the same kind of thing or did it shortly thereafter. And now they have a lot of company, as you pointed out, with Ceridian and then the other two big ERP vendors. A part of me thinks that they've lost their advantage, and yet they also seem very well positioned. They are still very well positioned for where the overall market is moving. They got there sooner than these legacy vendors, and that's they were cloud first, but it's not as if they've lost it. They're still kind of in a nice position, it seems to me.
I agree. I mean, Workday is still a solid, solid company overall. And while they face a lot of competitive threats, what firm doesn't? And whether they thrive, I think the next year or two is going to be very telling about the direction of this firm, and more than any other, because it's going to be harder for them to keep up those growth numbers. The pandemic has certainly shifted a lot of things, and we don't know to whose advantage just yet in the HR space. We still have to see that, but they're trying to make the right moves. Their acquisition of Peakon was certainly something they felt that was needed, not just for Qualtrics competition, but for the pandemic alone and the remote and the hybrid work. So we'll just have to see.
That sounds very wise summation to me. I mean, clearly they are in a space where there's not going to be a shortage of problems to solve as workers seem to be resigning en masse in the US and threatening to do so in the UK and Europe. So no shortage of problems for Workday to at least say they can help companies to solve.
Well, this seems like a good spot to end it, as you said. So thanks to both of you for a good chat today.
Pleasure, David. Thank you.
Thank you, David.